You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And let us pray. Gracious God, at times we doubt, we ask questions, but by your grace, you help us to have faith. So we thank you for your grace. In your name we pray, amen. Well, there are three instances in the gospel reading this morning where God's grace is shared directly with Mary. And each time she responds a little bit differently. And it's something that we can all relate to. The first time the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, he says, "Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed are you among women." Familiar words. And how does Mary respond to these words? She doubts. She doubts. The text tells us that she was perplexed and she pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. I've shared that before serving here, our family lived in Santa Ana, California. Santa Ana is not a big city in terms of its geography, but it is one of the most densely populated communities in the United States. Not everyone knows that. And so if you've spent time inside Santa Ana, you know it actually has kind of a big city feel in terms of the fact that it's very urban, very densely populated with people. And if you've ever spent time in a big city, you know there's just kind of a different way of interacting. People tend to be a bit more guarded. And when we moved to Santa Ana, we realized that there was a way that you looked at people you didn't know. And we called it the Santa Ana stare. You know, you kind of put your head back, your chin up a little bit, and you squint your eyes, and you just kind of, you assess everybody you see. When we first started serving at the church, there was a family there, and they had a young daughter, and she had a really strong Santa Ana stare. I mean, she was not old, she was young, but the way she looked at you, you kind of wanted to stay away. It's a defense mechanism people use when they live in that kind of a densely populated urban environment. And I remember the way that she looked at us, you know, kind of like, stay back, you know. And I think that that is how Mary must have looked at the angel Gabriel. Think about it for a moment. I mean, she didn't see this coming. This is the first time she's finding out about this special role. She doesn't even know that her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant yet. And so Gabriel shows up in her living space and says, you know, blessed are you, Mary, among women. And she gives him the stare. Who are you? What are you doing here? Can I trust you? There's some doubt there. So what does Gabriel do? He continues with the message. He says, do not be afraid. He perceives in her, you know, the doubt and a little mistrust and maybe a little fear, which again, you can relate to if you know what it's like to be in an urban environment. There's a little bit of fear and caution, but he continues on. You have found favor with God. And that word favor in Greek isn't the word favor. It's the word grace, charis. You have found grace with God. Sometimes we think that we have to have faith in order to receive God's grace. But we see in this text, even when Mary's not sure, doubting a little bit, God pours the grace out. You have found grace with God. The Lord is with you. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. What a powerful message, the second one that Gabriel gives to Mary after the greeting. And how does Mary respond the second time? She questions. She says, how can this be, since I am a virgin? First she doubts, then she questions. I remember when we spent more time in that first call and we earned the trust of people, the young lady I'm talking about, Genesis, who had that very strong Santa Ana stare, she became close with my wife Sherry and our kids. And sometimes after church, she would spend time and she would ask Sherry questions. Well, how come you guys do this? And how come you guys do that, right? I mean, she was growing up in Santa Ana. Her family had recently come to the United States. She had a lot of questions. How can this be? It was interesting because I would be outside and I would walk into the house and I would hear the chit-chatting, and as soon as I walked in, shoop, she became quiet. And there were no more questions. There was no more talking. It was, you know, more of that Santa Ana stare. Mary also asked questions. She wanted to understand how this was going to work. First doubting, then questioning. But that doesn't deter Gabriel. Gabriel keeps giving that message full of grace. He's undeterred. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. So now after this third time that Gabriel gives her the message, Mary responds with faith. She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. It was after the third time that the angel gave her the message that Mary proclaimed her faith. "I am God's servant. Let it be according to your word." When we were serving in Santa Ana and we were building trust with this young person named Genesis, I knew something had changed when one day she was in charge of watching our children, and Sherry and I had walked around the block or something, and when we came back, we saw that she was standing in front of our kids. They were kind of huddled around her, and this was a busy intersection where there were a lot of people walking by. And as any person walked by, she gave the most intense Santa Ana stare I'd ever seen. She just stared each person down as they walked past with the children behind her. She wouldn't let anyone even get close to them. And it meant so much to me because I knew she cared for the children. She used her own street smarts, her own doubting, her own questioning to protect them. And I wonder if maybe that's one of the reasons that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Precisely because she had that personality where she started off being a little doubtful. Gabriel shows up and she doesn't jump up and down and go, "Oh boy, Gabriel chose." No, she gave him the stare. And then when Gabriel said, "What's going to happen?" she questioned, said, "Are you sure?" And then finally she had the trust. Maybe it was God's design to pick Mary because Mary would protect the child. If an unknown person came up, maybe Mary knew how to do that stare. Maybe Mary knew how to question. We know she does. She questioned an angel of God. But it doesn't mean she didn't have faith. Sometimes we feel guilty about doubting. Sometimes we feel guilty about questioning. But God keeps showering us with grace until we have faith. And whatever personality God has given us, whatever personality God has knit together in our DNA and in our upbringing, there's a design and a purpose that God will use that for. God will use our doubts and our questions and our personality to serve God. Just like God picked Mary and used her traits to serve and to protect Jesus. And so God's grace is great, and it's poured out to you even if you ever have a doubt, even if you ever have a question, God's grace is still for you. And God will keep sharing God's grace with us until we too have faith like Mary. And so as we journey even closer to Christmas, God keeps pouring out the grace on us, stirring up faith. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.